Good morning, you guys. Praise the Lord, church.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, you know, we just finished the series on Philippians last Sunday. And as we know, we're about to embark on a week of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving means different things for people. You know, you look at the history of this country, you see that. But I would say we as the children of God, every day should be a day of Thanksgiving. Before I get into what I'm going to share, I'm going to tell you a little story. I'm going to tell you a story about a husband and a wife, Stephen and Stacy, right? And they had a daughter named Claire. Stephen and Stacy, they got together and they were saved. They were saved. They were about 4 years into marriage, and they were having a hard time being together. They were very critical of one another, and they prayed for a child. And God granted them a child. The child's name was Claire, right? So Stephen and Stacy had Claire, and we're going to move on 5 years past that. So they're about 8 years into marriage. And the marriage, they prayed for a child because they thought the child would bring them together. But it didn't. They saw different ways of parenting that drew them apart. But they were already separated in that they no longer see eye to eye, right? So because they couldn't see eye to eye, they were very critical of one another. But Claire, anyway, still going to church, mind you, throughout this time. So Claire is now five. And Claire hears a lot of arguing, and they go to church. And I'm going to say that because Claire, one day, she prays the prayer. She says, Father, she prays, God, can you please help my mommy and daddy to love each other. That was a child's prayer. You know, God, can you help my mommy and daddy love each other? Long story short, this is a five-year-old. We found out 5 years after her fifth birthday, she was diagnosed with leukemia, cancer. So the child now has cancer. Stacy and Steve, this is devastating news to them because it's like the child they hoped for, how could God let this happen? So this child now has leukemia, and the child that was once running around the house now is weak and can't move. This child that was once asking questions now don't want to get out the bed. This child that prayed to God now is not moving, and hair is falling out, and Stacy is torn apart. She's in the bathroom. She's isolating, trying to do her best to care for Claire. And Stephen is also trying to do his best, but he's now engulfed in work, and when he comes home, he's trying to comfort Claire. Now this child, Claire, is now in the hospital, and they're caring for her now by setting up times when one would go and when the other would go. And so they're visiting Claire in a hospital, and many times they're staying overnight. But what they're doing is, while they're there, they're praying, God, I don't want to lose Claire, because if Claire dies, I don't know if I want to live. Both of them are saying the same prayer. God, this is unfair. Why me? God, take this from them. So the doctor tells them Claire is getting worse. And then the doctor tells them, in about 6 to 8 weeks, we don't believe Claire's going to make it. We give her about that much time because she's not taken to chemo. She's not taken to anything that we're given. And because they were at some point grounded in God, they were questioning God, saying, God, you know we fall short. You know, Stephen, like, God, you know I fall short. I've done many things wrong. If I didn't love my wife, I asked you to help me, but this is not fair. Why is this happening to Claire? Claire did nothing wrong. God, heal my daughter. And Stacy is saying similarly, but the same thing. God, if I did something wrong, help me. But I asked you to heal my daughter. And in their deep despair, and they're hurt, and they're pain, and asking, and crying out to God, because this is happening over time. This is happening over time, and it's breaking them down. And they are in the hospital room. And now, we talk about 5 weeks advance. Now she have about a week to go, and they're looking at their frail daughter, Claire, as a skeleton now. And both of them are saying the same thing. I will not let her go. God, I'm not letting her go. God, I'm trusting you. And they decide for the first time in all of this time that we're going to pray together. And we're just going to ask God to do something. Because I don't know what tomorrow was going to look like, but God got to do something today. He has to do it today. God, if you don't do it today, I don't know if I can make it another day. God, I don't know. I don't know if I can believe. If you don't show up, God, I need you right now. So both of them on the inside are groaning. They're broken. Broken beyond broken. They're hurting beyond hurt. They say unto God, God, I need you. So God moves. God moves, but God doesn't move in a way that we're thinking right now. God just raised Claire. No. They began to come together and pray, and they said, God, fix me. Fix me. If this is because of me, fix me. Fix me, God. They both prayed the same prayer together. God, fix me. Fix me, God. And as they prayed, God, fix me, they began to see the angels in the room. Listen, as they said, God, fix me, they began to see the angels in the room. An angel that they can visibly barely see tapped Stephen on the shoulder. And the angel said to Stephen, Stephen, pray the word. And so Stephen, who already knew the word, was in his feelings, and he never prayed the word. He prayed how he felt. And the angel said, Stephen, pray the word. And Stephen knew some word that was in him. And he said, Jesus, I remember there was a sick girl that died and you raised her. And Stephen said, in the name of Jesus, Claire, I command you to rise. And he did it from a hurt place, a broken place, but a place full of hope and faith. God, I need you, and I know that you're able to do it. When they prayed, God fixed me. God opened their eyes. Jesus many times preached, and he said, he that have ears to hear, let him hear. He that has eyes to see, let him see. What does that mean? That means see what is. But in seeing what is, you're not looking at the circumstances. You're seeing God. Because God is. Yes, he is. Circumstances are circumstances, but God is. So as they said, as Stephen began to speak unto Claire, his daughter in a skeleton, she's not moving. She hasn't been moving. She was laying down, and she rose up and said, Daddy! And Claire's eyes began to water. And Stacy's eyes began to water because she recognized the husband that she complained about was not who she thought he was. And also Stephen recognize why God gave her Stacy. And in that moment that Claire sat up, she revived and she began to tell them about her experience and how Jesus told her, I heard you. The Bible talks about how all things work together for the good. Tell you that this did not seem like a good situation. As a matter of fact, it seemed like a deal breaker. But the reason why I'm telling you this story is because God does not operate the way we think he operates. Sometimes the very thing that seems like it's meant to destroy you will be the very thing God used to bring about restoration, healing, and breakthrough. Ultimately, for you to see, God is, not was, not will be. He's both of those too, but he is. And so Claire began to tell their mom and dad, Stephen and Stacy, and they said to her, I know you saw them because I saw them. And she began to tell them that all the time there were angels in the room, but in the house there were demons in the house. And she was afraid many nights. And she said, Jesus, help me. Help me, Jesus. Jesus told her that I will. And what they discovered in this journey, this difficult journey, was that they were speaking and inviting things into their home because of how they felt. They were speaking and inviting things in their home because they did not see God. They were speaking hurt to one another that manifested in Claire. That manifested, you speak death, you reap death. Not necessarily to you, but to you. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Brothers and sisters, God showed Stacy, God showed Stephen, that God is love. That even despite them, he loved them, and he loved Claire, and he never left them. He never left them. He never left them. You got to get this. He never left them. The problem is when we're hurt, sometimes we don't want to deal with God. We want to tell God about how we feel, and it causes them to separate from one another and all the while throw stones at one another. And it wasn't until they were broken, beyond broken, that they totally said, God, forget about me. I need you. And sometimes what we got to do is get to that place where we're not taking all of us to God and say, God, I need you to do this. Because God knows what to do, but we try to tell God what to do. And the thing is, they thought having Claire would bring them together, but it broke them apart. Because it's not the blessings, it's not the things, it's not the things that God gives us. It's the relationship with him that matters more than anything. And sometimes we think that things will fix us. And long story short, Claire fully healed. Doctors couldn't understand it. It wasn't the chemo. It was some kind of miracle. Stephen and Stacy, their strength and faith was renewed. Their marriage was blossoming, and they began to do things in a different way. Amen. And the number one thing they decided to do was that we got to pray together. Because if God can do a miracle like that, then something has been wrong with what we've been doing all of this time. And they also saw through the testimony of their daughter how powerful their words were, and also what was going on in the spiritual realm of things that they could not see. The Bible tells us in everything rejoice. The Bible tells us in everything rejoice. Somebody might say, well, if I don't feel like rejoicing, because I don't feel this situation is working out for me, I don't feel like rejoicing. God understands that, but he said in everything rejoice. Because what happens is when we allow our feelings to dictate our ability to rejoice, I'm going to say it again, when we allow feelings, flesh, to dictate what we do, the Bible says that the flesh cannot please God. Can't. Those that are in the flesh cannot please God. What does that mean? I mean, if I rely on my natural faculties, I will not see God. I got to know that I know that I know that God is. And when my body and my mind and my thoughts and my feelings don't comply to God's word, the Bible says that his word is greater than our thoughts. God is greater. And it tells us to cast down every stronghold, every imagination that tries to rise up over what we know about God. So when our thoughts condemn us, or, you know, in the midst of both of Claire and, I mean, Stephen and Stacy, in the midst of what they were going through with watching their daughter die, they went from blaming each other to blaming themselves. I'm going to ask you, in this story, you may not can relate to everything, but can you relate to something? Because this is what I'm going to tell you, is that the accuser of the brethren, Satan, is always warring against God's people, trying to get them to point the finger. What happened when Adam and Eve fell? God came to Adam and Eve, and he began to talk to Adam. What did Adam do? The woman that you gave me, he pointed it out. This was an attribute of the enemy. Listen, the first thing that happens when the enemy attacks, he tried to get us to see our identity and point the finger. The Bible says, against flesh and blood. But against principalities of powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our enemy is not the people around us. But I'm going to ask you again, how many of us feel like our enemy is the people around us? Be mindful. Be mindful of what you say. I started off with that because I want you guys to know that in everyday life, the Bible says, be careful lest the enemy gain advantage of you. We got to be careful that Satan don't gain advantage of us, because everything that happens to us is not for us. It may work together for your good, but be careful of what you speak into your own life. Be careful of how you point the finger, and all the while it's clouding God in your life and it's clouding your testimony. Because others are watching, saying, if God was so good, why do you say you got it so bad? If God was so good, why do you say you got it so bad? Listen, and Stacy, changed the way they see God. And never again will they do what they did. But sometimes I'm going to tell you, in our life, we have lessons that God teaches. He said, I chastise those I love. And for Stephen and Stacy, that was a chastisement. Why? Because instead of leaning on God, they separated from God. They pointed the finger. God, how you give me this person? God, how you do that? You don't care about how I feel. The flesh. Those that are in the flesh cannot please God. We got to stop taking our feelings to God and know who God is. It's not wrong to have feelings. Hear what I'm saying. But when our feelings become an idol towards God, where our feelings are more important than who God is, right? Because feelings are relative. We go up and we go down. We feel good today and bad tonight. This is how we go as humans. But we got to know that God is able and God will work. And everything, if you are his, will work together for your good. Don't matter what it look like. You just know that it is. I know that his testimony is in his room. That as I'm talking, that some of you can stand up and testify and talk about the goodness of God. But that is, in fact, today. We are here today to give glory unto the God that loves us, that is keeping us from day to day. This week, we call it Thursday, we call it Thanksgiving. But let us rejoice in everything. I'm going to share some scriptures with you guys. If you can, turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Let me know when you got it. Acts chapter 16, and we're going to start at verse 11. Can I get it read it?
From Tros we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony, and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house, and she persuaded us. Keep going. We're going to the place of prayer. We were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the Spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in an attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. We are all here. The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them in the house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, and he and his whole household. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, release those men. The jailer told Paul, the magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave and go in peace.
Praise God for the reading of the word. So yeah, I could have taken away some of that. I was going to actually share some of that, but I'm still going to talk about just a portion of that. So in this particular story, Paul and Silas, they were preaching, they were going about doing their evangelism. Long story short, they were preaching. It was a woman that was crying out saying these are the men of God, pretty much. But it was the spirit that was leading her to do it. She was saying the truth, but it was the spirit leading them. And the reason why I'm bringing this story up is because ultimately, you somebody can be telling you the truth, but they can recognize that it was the spirit that was saying it. That spirit, to a believer, that spirit was annoying to them, so they cast it out. They're like, yo, will you shut up? And so they cast it out in Jesus' name. So the spirit came out. And then because of who she was a sorcerer. You would say a fortune teller. She was doing these things. She said she made many people rich. I'm sure if it was today, she might have been giving people numbers to win the lottery or you know, the Dow Jones and all of that. And she was helping them make the right investment. She was making them money. So long story short, they were mad. They flogged them. They took off their clothes and they beat them and they whipped them, Paul and Silas, and then they put them in prison. They imprisoned their chains. And the Bible talks about how that in the midnight hour, Paul and Silas, there was an earthquake and their chains was loosed. And what I'm saying is say that in through all of this, they were doing the God service and that they were doing evangelism. And sometimes we can be doing the right thing, right, and get bad for it. I'm sharing about God, and things seemingly are not going right. And obviously, in this situation with Paul and Silas, they were preaching the word of God from this place to that place, and they went in this place particularly. And what happened was the people, they thronged and they grabbed them, they took them, and they dragged them, and then they threw them in prison. And the very prison that they were at, when they prayed and they worshiped God in the midnight hour, God loosed the chains. And then in fear that they escaped, the prison guard, which we can say is kind of like the enemy, the prison guard, he get ready to kill himself. Now, some of us would be like, go ahead and kill yourself. You're not my friend. If anything, you help put me in chains. But no, Paul said, stop, don't kill yourself. And Paul began to go preach to him and tell him, like, to this day, you know, and I want to say there's a relationship with the prison guard, because at the point where he was saying, I want to die, sometimes it's in our weakest times that we are now open. Because I'm sure if it was the day before, had none of this happened, that prison guard would have tried to, if they tried to escape, he would try to kill him, right? But now in this particular moment, he's now fearing for his own life. So in his life and being fearful, he is now open to anything. I'm ready to die. So Paul says, stop. There's hope. And he began to tell them that this day, that if you receive the word of God, you will be saved in your house. And it says that the prison guard went and washed his wounds. So the very enemy, right, he went and washed their wounds. Think about this. And the reason why sometimes that in this life, this thing we call life, sometimes our enemy will be the ones that wash our wounds. The very one that is seemingly attacking you will turn around and be the one that be, oh, man, you know, talking about the testimony of what God do. So we got to be careful of what we say. You hear what I'm saying? Because I believe a lot of us, because the prison guard would be our enemy, we'll be like, go ahead, kill yourself. I didn't do it. But Paul says, and he began to share God in the midst of his own testimony. And what happened, that not only did this prison guard get saved, but his whole house got saved. Again, and we can see it, Paul can see it in this particular setting. The reason why Paul wasn't upset, because he understood he don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. There's a thing going on. Even when he dealt with the woman that was saying, these are the men of God, he didn't address her. He didn't say woman. He addressed the spirit behind the woman. You guys, in this thing we call life, we got the Holy Spirit. We got the Holy Spirit. If you're going to got the Holy Spirit, get the Holy Spirit. But we got the Holy Spirit. And we got to ask the Holy Spirit, God, give me eyes to see. Whatever is going on in my life that I'm not dealing with it, right? Help me to see things the way they are in you. Help me to see them spiritually. So we ask God for spiritual discernment. Discernment meaning to know. Because if you don't discern, then you don't know. So sometimes we can be dealing with things with blinded eyes. Like, we're dealing with it. We see what we see naturally, but we don't see it with discernment. We don't see it with knowledge behind what is actually taking place. And sometimes in our life, these things take place over and over and over again only because we don't have discernment, right? Because when you can discern, you can handle it, right? You can take the word of God and you can speak to it, and it will change. So going back to God's word, we see God. Can we see God, right?
So you see God in the midst
story that I shared, you see God right in the midst of Paul and Silas. They're in the chains in the prison. Their chains were let loose. And why they were in chains, listen, they could have said what we could say. Natural feelings, God, you see me, I'm about to die, because ultimately that was the plan. But they praised God in the midst of what they were going through. And then it says that the chains were loosed. So what can hold us back? Nothing. They decided that circumstances wasn't going to determine their praise, right? They decided that the circumstances wasn't going to get them to look at God, why me? But God praise you. Why praise God in bad circumstances? My question to y'all, why praise God in bad circumstances? Can anybody tell me why praise God in the bad circumstance? Because he's worthy. Give me another reason. Because he can change anything. Anybody else? Why praise God in the bad circumstance?
Because the circumstances don't determine truth.
Because the circumstances don't determine truth. I want y'all to talk back. Come on now. Come on now. Now, I can tell you why. But I want y'all, you know, even if you didn't say nothing, I hope that during this week, why praise God in bad circumstances? For everything that you guys said, he's worthy, first of all. And he, in many times, is the only one that can change circumstances. See, it's God that determines the outcome, not the circumstances itself. It's God that determines the outcome. So the reason why you praise God in the circumstances is because he's the king of the circumstance. I'm going to say it again. The reason why you praise God in the circumstance is because he's the king of the circumstance. In the first story that I shared, God was king of the circumstances. In the book of Acts, where we just read about Paul and Silas, even though they were beaten, they was already beaten, so it's not like nothing didn't happen to them. They just got beat in public, right? So it's not just that you got beat. You got beat in front of people, right? I'm just saying, I don't want to make light of the situation because I don't know about y'all, and the reason why I'm pointing this out, I would be superly embarrassed, right? You take my clothes off and you beat me in public. Is that not humiliating? I'm asking, would y'all be okay with that? Because I know I wouldn't. So I understand that there are natural feelings that I would feel and I might feel some type of way. But they, in their circumstance, chose to praise God. And so they saw a miracle because they did not respond to the circumstance the way we would naturally respond to a circumstance. Recognizing the king of the situation. Recognizing the king of the situation. I'm going to repeat some stuff. Recognizing the king of the situation. God is king. Right? God is king. Don't matter what we go through, God is king. The reason why we are thankful is because God is king. Amen. In Psalm 100, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Where is the presence of God? Everywhere you at. It's when you decide to praise God, his presence is right there. Because the Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. So when you decide to praise, God show up. I'm going to tell you, if you need God to intervene, start praising him. Stop complaining, the devil show up. When you complain, that's like devil radar. Hey, what you say? Let's tear it up. You know why? Because when we speak negative, we actually speak into the atmosphere, and we give okay to the enemy to wreak havoc. Huh? But, because that's why Jesus said you have power in your tongue, power of life or death. He said, behold, I give you power, that you shall tread upon serpents and upon scorpions. If you eat any deadly thing in Mark chapter 15, it shall not hurt you. So we got this power, the Holy Spirit power within us. We got to speak life. We got to speak restoration. We got to speak healing. We got to speak the word of God. How is it that we know to turn to the word of God? By studying his word. If you get it in you, you'll use it when you need it. But if you don't take time to get it in you, it's going to be very difficult to use it when you need it. So my suggestion would be, the Bible talks about how we present our body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God.
and how we become renewed by the renewing of our mind. Our mind is renewed through studying God's word, through meditating upon God's word. If you don't have time to read God's word, listen, I'm going to give you some suggestions. Get an audio book on your phone. Get something where it plays the word of God, so that even subconsciously you can get it sold into your spirit. If you feel like, hey, you know, sometimes I just don't seemingly have time to read, get that word in you. Because if it's in you, it'll come out of you. But if you got other things in you, that's going to come out of you, right? So whatever is in you is going to come out. And the Bible talks about it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you, but it's what comes out. You hear me? Defilement comes out of your mouth. So whether or not your atmosphere is peace or not, it's probably by what you say. So we got to speak the word of God in our circumstances. I'm just looking at so many scriptures. It's just talking about giving God praise and thanks. And I read them all, but the point of it is it's already made. Praise God. We got to look to God, the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible says, who for the joy before him, Jesus endured the cross. Like, so Jesus knew I'm about to die, but he said that I saw, right? I saw what was going to happen. By faith, you can see the positive outcome of anything. So faith is why we praise God. Why we praise God? Because God is the king of the circumstance, and faith is always believing the favorable outcome. Faith is always believing the favorable outcome, even though we don't see it. That's faith. So I believe what I don't yet see because I know the king of the circumstance. Right? So everything that I'm dealing with that is not favorable, I need a miracle to take place, and the only person that can bring about this miracle is the king of the circumstance. Who is the king of the circumstance? Moses known him as I am that I am. Why? Because Moses was in a situation where he was told to go before Pharaoh, and he like, all right, I know what's going to happen. You're going to listen to me, and I'm going to tell you what to do. And in all that he did, right? Pharaoh hardened his heart, but God did that, right? And I'm only going back to this to say, the circumstance for a long time don't seem like it's going to change. But understand who is the Lord of the circumstance. It don't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what you feel like. It doesn't matter what they say. God is the king of the situation. And when we are the king of the situation, we are thankful. We rejoice because we understand in this life. We understand in this life, when you know the king of the circumstance, is that for real, I can't lose. I can't lose leaning on the king of the situation. I can't lose leaning on the king of kings and the Lord of lords. God is God, and this is why I am thankful. I am thankful in everything, because in everything I win. Even when it doesn't look like it. He slay me, yet will I trust him. Job saw the king of the situation. How could you say, like Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him? What Job said is, if he ain't with me here, when I die, I'm going to be with him. So either way, I got him in situations and circumstances. And although he gave me resources, in Job's circumstance, he is what I want and I desire. I only have the resources because I love him. So if you take them away, I'm still love him, because at the end of the day, on the other side, I know there's resources. You know, you got to understand that whether in this life or the next life, he got me. So guess what? Whether I live or I die, he got me, so I'm good. It doesn't matter if the world turns its back on me. Jesus said the world hated me, so they will hate you. Jesus said that it was bad for me, but it will get bad for you. But be okay, because I overcame the world. Let me say, the victory in Jesus' life was in his death. Let me say it again. Victory in Jesus' life was in his death. That don't seem right. Listen, the natural mind. How is it that he died, but he got victory? I'm going to say it again, because I want you to realize what I'm saying. How is it that Jesus died, but he got victory? If you try to make sense of it, right? We all are afraid to die. We are born with the fear of death. The Bible says in everybody's life, the chief thing that we are afraid of is dying. Right? This is why they put people on death row. To give them the fear of dying, right? To say that, okay, now you'll be tormented every day with the knowing that you're going to die. Right? So this key thing, the worst thing we all have is this fear of death. Jesus said, I choose that way because in that way I'm going to break the curse for all mine. So that mine, when they come, they're not afraid of that. Everybody else might be afraid of that. But they know when they come and they die, right, they're going to be with me. And it's all good. And look, Jesus said to his disciples, don't worry about I'm going to go because I'm going to my Father and your Father, right? To my God and your God. So know that I'm going now, but when it's your time, that's where you're going to. So there's nothing in this life that you should be afraid of because I'm God. Oh my God. I don't know if you get it, but you better get it, right? You better grasp that, right? So it's nothing in this life when you can see. There's nothing in this life that when you can see, that should shake you for real. That's why it says be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing but in all things. Anxiousness is fear. That the negative will be. God said be anxious for nothing but with all things where prayer and supplication, right? With thanksgiving, yes. Thanking God, yes. That all things will be. Hey, you guys, listen. Yes. God is able. God is able. So I'm going to close it out. I'm getting ready to close it out. We're going to lay hold on God's truth, not what we feel. Not what we feel, God's truth. God's truth, we got to lay hold on the word of God because it is a living word. It is a living word. We speak the word of God in our life because it is a living word. It's not just a word written on paper. It's a word that has power to transform our minds and other people and circumstances and situations because God is always the king of the situation. There is nothing possible with God. James 1:17 said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It just simply means God don't change. If God gave it to you, he gave it to you. And he ain't going to change his mind about it. If you're his, understand God as a father. If you're his, even despite how much times we turn away and we fall back and do things, God said, listen, I love you. And my love for you is everlasting, beyond everlasting. There's a scripture that I like, and it talks about the love of God, and it talks about how neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, the things in the heavens, nor beneath, nothing shall separate us from God's love. And I'm going to say this, that when you can recognize that God loved me more than any and everything, it's easier to remove idols out of your life. The things that we like allow us to distract us. The things we allow us to take our time away from God and then we say we don't have the time. Right? When we can understand that God loves me more than I love me. Right. More than anybody love me. Right. And that in every situation, he got me. And it will be favorable. God don't always do things that we want him to do, but he will do things that we need, right? He will provide. He will keep us. He will sustain us. Because although we may pray for our desires and our wants, he knows what we need. And sometimes what we want is not what we need. But sometimes what we need is not what we want. God is faithful. God is a faithful parent. And I just want to remind you guys, listen, in this week we call Thanksgiving, don't wait till Thursday to give God praise. Be reminded of what he has done for you thus far. Look at all outcomes and situations. And sometimes we can see some of the situations that we chose, God dug us out of them things, right? And then he still gave us his stamp of approval to say that you're my son, you're my daughter. And if God could be faithful and loving to us in our weakest moments, the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. That don't change, though. We still love him because he first loved us. It ain't like the first time. It's all the times. We love him because we first love him, and we don't love him the way he loves us. Sometimes we love him situationally. He loves us everlastingly. You know? He loved you before you was even here. It says before the foundations, he loved you and he chose you. When we get an idea of who we are in him and who we are to him, then who we become to him becomes a lot more powerful in this life. Because who can stand before a child of God? No one and succeed. Hear what I'm telling you. Who can stand before a child of God? Just because David knew who God was, he slew Goliath. The armies of Israel, the soldiers, they were fearful. But this is what David knew. It wasn't so much that he was good at using a rock. He was good at knowing the rock.
That's right.
He was good at knowing the rock. He said, the bear couldn't get me because my guy got me. The lion couldn't get me because my guy got me. Who is this Goliath, right? It's because he knew. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, it's really not about our abilities. It's about who we know. Amen. Sometimes it's not about what you can do. It's about who you know.
Amen.
We know the king of the situation, you guys. Let's get there.
Amen.
Father God, we just thank you for your word that went forth on today. God, you are the king of all things. And we are beholding your return, Jesus. God, we pray, God, that in this life we will not let you down. God, we pray that we will see you as you are in everything, Lord God. Help us to not be fearful, God, of the things we encounter in this life, but help us with faith and encourage, rejoice in all things, knowing, God, that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. God, and you will see us through all things. And we thank you that we are more than conquerors through you, and we already have the victory. Lord God, and you said this is the victory that we have in you, even our faith. Father, we thank you that you gave to us, all of us, a measure of faith. So even when we say, God, I don't got it, we ask you to just help us increase our faith. And we just thank you for what you've given us, what you're doing in us. God, and I pray that if anybody under the sound of my voice, Lord God, is not in good relationship with you, I pray that you will restore them even right now, Holy Spirit. I would ask that everybody would say this prayer with me, Father God. God, I ask you to restore me unto you. My life is yours. My future is yours. And everything that I have, it is yours. Use it for your glory. Save my soul and write my name in the book of life. Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me and give me clear direction in all things. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God got you. If you prayed that prayer, God got you. Praise the Lord.